Hey, folks, welcome to Draft Talk on Pittsburgh Sports Live. I'm Alan Saunders. That's Nick Faribault. We're talking almost every day in the month of April leading up to the 2022 NFL Draft about this year's draft class and how it fits for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We've been going position by position through the class. We talked about wide receivers. We talked about corners. We talked about quarterbacks. We talked about tackles. We talked about safeties. Today, we're going to hit the linebacker position. One of interesting need for the Steelers, where they have a ton of bodies on their roster. They've got Devin Bush, they've got Miles Jack, they've got Robert Spillane and Marcus Allen and Ulysses Gilbert and Buddy Johnson. And so they don't need to fill this position with bodies, but it is to me a position of need for them in this draft class because those guys are here for a short time, not a long time. All those guys, Allen's on a one-year deal, Spillane's on a one-year deal, Jack's on a two-year deal. Bush is probably not going to have his fifth-year option taken, which means that room could look drastically different a year from now, and the Steelers could get a head start on that rebuild with a high draft pick at the position. And I do think there are some that fit them in this draft. But first of all, Nick, let's just talk about the class in general. To me, it does not strike me as an overwhelmingly deep inside linebacker class, although there are a good number of options at every sort of step where it comes to day one and day two and day three. There aren't a ton of them. It's not overwhelmingly deep to me. It seems to be a pretty fair to average draft class, but nothing incredible like we've seen in some years when it was the two Devins, Bush and White, or we saw Patrick Queen go. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's anything particularly noteworthy at the position.
Yeah, I don't think it has a great top either. We don't see like an elite prospect that you're going to take in the top 10, right? You don't have a guy like a Roquan Smith from years past. You don't have a guy that's going to be a top 10 pick. Now, you do have first rounders, two potential, I think, three, four-ish. We don't really know the stock of a lot of these linebackers. Not a lot to talk about them, but Devin Lloyd's kind of the top consensus guy. So that'll be your top. And then you kind of look, I think it's good on day two. I think it's really nice day two depth. And that's where I think the strength of the class is. I think you're going to be able to get multiple good players on day two, multiple guys that are going to play at a high level. And then on day three, I'm not sure there's a lot of guys on day three where I'm like going to be like, you know, pounding the hammer for them, because I just don't find this to be a particularly deep class, as you kind of alluded to. Some guys that'll maybe be, you know, a special teamer, but not guys that are going to be starters for you that late. So this is a good class in that day two range. But I will say this, I think there's just not a lot at the top. And then I think at the bottom, after that day two, I think it tapers off pretty quick. So good class if you need one in day two. Outside of that, though, if you're not willing to spend that day two capital, or you need someone that you want to, you know, you want that elite prospect there, I don't know if you're going to find him in this class.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, you know, saying Devin Lloyd is the top prospect, I think that's pretty well agreed upon, but there's not really an agreement of where he's going to go in this draft. I've seen him mocked five. I've seen him mocked the very bottom of the first round, you know, anywhere in between, really. And so I don't think he's a can't miss player. I don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to go at the very top of that range. I think probably somewhere closer to where the Steelers are drafting at 20. It would not be crazy for me to think that Lloyd might be available for them. You know, we've talked about the number of players that are highly talented that are probably not going to be there at 20, but one of them will be. And I would consider in that group, you know, like we talked about at tackle and at wide receiver, where, yeah, probably these guys aren't going to be available, but one of them will be. It wouldn't be crazy for me for Lloyd to be available, but is there another player other than Lloyd that you would take in the first round? To me, he's kind of the one, but there are some other intriguing options.
I mean, I think there are other options in the first round. I think you have to look at Nakobe Dean from Georgia. I also think Quay Walker has worked himself up that high, man. His stock's been going through the roof. I think the two Georgia linebackers have a lot of right going for him. I think another sleeper guy that you have to at least look out for is Christian Harris from Alabama. Kind of a really quiet, you know, a quiet process for him. But one where you know he's going to be, you know, top 50-ish, top 64-ish. He'll go in the second round, I think, at the very latest. So I think when you look at that first round, I mean, the thing with Dean is he's really small, so he's not going to take on blocks as well. He's kind of got that smaller frame, and more as we're starting to see in this two high league, you put more and more stress on your linebackers. You need to have a little bit more thump in them. And so that's why Devin Lloyd's going to be your big guy, you know, 6'3", 240 with Lloyd. Dean's maybe 5'11", 220. And then you look at Quay Walker, he's kind of that mold, 6'4", 245. Guy is just a really, really, really big time player in terms of his athletic traits. And that's where he'll get his hype here. And so I think those are the only three I could see going this high. I mean, Chad Muma's really climbed up boards, but again, can't really see him sneaking in the first round. And there are other guys that I think some teams will really like. Leo Chenal is a guy that has really rocketed up boards recently. But again, I can't see a first-round grail. And so the three guys we mentioned, I think those are your potential first-round picks. Don't be surprised if Devin Lloyd's the only linebacker taken in round one. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
I wouldn't be surprised either, and I think if someone else is, it's almost definitely Dean, because he has the coverage ability that I think is worth reaching for. Not that he would be a reach, but the teams need, right? I feel like there are off-ball linebackers that have maybe a player like Quay Walker's size, and maybe not his combination of size and athleticism, because it's pretty impressive, but I think a lot of teams can find size and can find guys that can stop the run. Guys that can cover are a little bit more rare. I think that's why you see Dean, who ran, I think, a 4.52, moving up boards in the same realm as Lloyd. But to me, I agree. Those are the only two guys I would take in the first round, and I'm not even 100% sold on either of them. I think they both have question marks. Specifically talking about the fit for the Steelers, too, I mean – you know, well, what the Steelers really need from their inside linebackers is coverage. I mean, I think Devin Bush will be better than he was in 2021 as he fully recovers from that knee injury. But what we've seen from Devin Bush is that he's a sort of a sideline to sideline linebacker that can flow to the ball, but isn't great when blockers come straight at him, and isn't that good in coverage for how small he is, right? And obviously Miles Jack, you know, can do a little bit of everything, but is not some kind of coverage specialist. And the Steelers have not, at that position, really ever recovered from the loss of Ryan Shazier from a coverage standpoint. They've never been able to replace that. You look at Robert Spillane, he can stuff the run, go ask Derrick Henry, right? But he's very stiff in coverage. So, I think if they're going to use a high draft pick on this position, and I'm not 100% certain that they will. To me, it has to be a player that has a coverage ability like Dean, like Lloyd, or like some of the guys in the second round, because I honestly think the day two options are probably better fits for where the Steelers are drafting and their other needs than day one. You talked about Leo Chenal, who's from Wisconsin, who's a good player that seems to fit Chad Muma from Wyoming. I'll throw a couple others out that I really like. Brandon Smith from Penn State, I think, is the best coverage linebacker in the draft class. He's probably a second-round pick. I think would be an excellent fit for them. The two Oklahoma linebackers, Nick Benito, probably more of like a Sam outside guy, but maybe could fit into the Steelers defense in that sort of Vince Williams role. Brian Asamoah from Oklahoma as well. Damone Clark, you mentioned Christian Harris. Channing Tindall, that there are lots of options for them in that day two range that seem to fit really well. Darian Beavers from Cincinnati, I know, is a player that you like a lot as well. I mean, I think from that group, it's easy to see the Steelers finding a fit.
Yeah, I think that there is. Now, there are some issues, I think, each one. Chad Muma is a really fun player, probably doesn't make it to 52. Chenal might not make it to 52. We've seen all this. I think As you look at the pro day movement, the Steelers look at, I think you have to circle the three Georgia guys. So you have to circle Tindall and Quay Walker at this point, I think. I think Brandon Smith, we were at that pro day. We saw Jerry Osowski run him through his drills. So we saw them have clear interest in Brandon Smith up front. He's the type of guy that they could use. I totally agree with you on that. And I think Miles Jack, I'm a little bit higher on Miles Jack in coverage than maybe you are. I think he is a coverage specialist. I think that is his specialty. But I also think in some ways with the Steelers running more and more too high, and if this is what they're going to go towards, and every sign we have thus far is pointing towards this, they're going to need a better run defender too. I think they're going to need a guy with a little bit more thump in his pads, a guy that can, shed blocks, because that's not Miles Jack's MO. Miles Jack's more of a see, chase, catch, okay, I'm going to scrape over the top and avoid my blockers rather than second shift. Now, Chenault in that regard fits perfectly. I think Leo Chenault, I can make an argument Leo Chenault is the best linebacker in this draft class. I think I legitimately could do that. He's probably my third overall linebacker, maybe my second overall linebacker in this class. I think he's phenomenal. I love that fit for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think he's a good coverage linebacker. And that's not his specialty. His specialty is coming downhill and, you know, shed blocks. He's really good as a blitzer. So in that, those Brian Flores fronts, I think he's perfect. But he's good in coverage. He's not stiff. He's fluid. He has the potential, I think, to develop into that kind of overall steal of this class. That guy that could be a superstar linebacker, I think it's him and Lloyd. Those are the two guys I look at as like, okay, they have that potential. Brandon Smith, I also think, is the third guy that I throw in that category of having game-changing linebacker potential. He's still raw from a mental standpoint, just has to go through his keys a lot better. Very raw in that regard, but boy, the traits are there. And his coverage ability is already very polished. So he's pro-ready from a coverage standpoint, which is good because you're still going to be able to play with that. He's not, and again, he's going to be able to shoot gaps. He's developing as a blitzer. So I like him there. You know, there are other names that you can throw into that. JoJo Damone from Nebraska is a guy that has gotten some hype recently. One of those coverage specialists as well was at the Senior Bowl. A guy that has really worked in space a lot. So that's really good in that Big Ten. So you see him covering guys from like Ohio State. You see him doing a lot of that. Troy Anderson from Montana State, I know, has gotten some hype for his coverage ability.
And a 4.2.
Yeah, that too. I didn't see it on tape, though. I thought he was routinely a little stiff. So I'm not sure about that. Terrell Bernard from Baylor is another guy. That is really interesting, super explosive and super smart in coverage. He has a lot of versatility in that area. I think another guy we have to mention is Jesse Luketta, the other Penn State linebacker, who's kind of an edge linebacker hybrid.
I have a hard time seeing him as an inside linebacker in the Steelers defense. I think he could play off ball, but probably only in a 4-3.
Yeah, I could see that as a Sam. And he's probably going to be that. And this is where I kind of come to, if you're going to do this blitzing type of linebacker and a guy that can come downhill and you really want that, I keep coming back to the most likely guy. I think it's Darian Beavers. I just think it makes so much sense. A guy that is tailor-made to play for Brian Flores. I mean, one of the best blitzing linebackers we've had come out in recent memory from the off-ball position. A guy that is super explosive, has great feet, smart player already, very polished player. I mean, we are talking about a really polished guy that's going to come in and could have the makings of an NFL starter this year. He could push Devin Bush. And definitely, if Bush is going to leave next year, I think you have your starting duo right there. It's Miles Jack and Darian Beavers at 23. I think that's the point. And I think Beavers is just such a great fit for what he does up front. Has a great acumen for pro boxing, great hands. Reminds me a lot of a poor man's version of Zaven Collins. From last year, if you remember how we were talking about Zaven Collins a lot, you know, a guy that can maybe blitz off the edge every now and then, kind of like that, maybe a little less explosive, super, not as big as Zaven Collins was, but similar in the type of player.
And neither of those guys ran all that well either, and I think it left questions about their draft stock. Like, we were really sure where Collins was going to go at this time last year. I feel like the same way about Beavers. I've seen some people talk about him in the second round. I've seen some people talk about him like he's a day three guy.
Yeah, I don't know where Beavers is going to end up. I think he's going to end up more towards the top end of that range just because he has such, I think, rare blitzing acumen for the position and versatility. And a lot of defense coordinators are going to want that. You know, a team like the Patriots is going to jump on that in like round three, I think, if he's there.
Yeah, like that's a very Patriots-feeling player.
Exactly. And so, you know, you bring in Brian Flores, so – that's going to be a big thing too. And Flores is going to be a guy manufacturing a lot of the fronts, blitzes, certainly is going to have some influence in terms of their blitz fronts. And so I think Beavers is a perfect fit for that type of mold. And then there's also Brian Asamoah, who we kind of touched on, but I think is a fun player. What I like him at the Senior Bowl at the very least, pretty athletic, really athletic, more of a developmental guy. But he is a guy that when you let him go, he just goes. He's kind of a chase and see, go get ball guy. And he just needs that simplified type of read. The Pittsburgh puts so much on their inside linebackers. I don't love the Asamoah fit because in order to play for the Steelers, you have to be a really smart linebacker.
And one I think we didn't really talk about enough in that regard, Damone Clark from LSU really impressed me with just his intelligence and his sort of field generalship. He is not he ran pretty well from a 40 perspective, but is not like the world's most athletic guy for a linebacker. He's a little bit tall and a little bit like just stiff, I think. But he is the guy that knows what's going on, was the captain of their defense at LSU, and just feels like, if you want someone, like, to me, Clark feels like a Miles Jack eventual replacement, right? Where like he's that guy that can kind of do a little bit of everything and will be sort of the rock of a defense. A lot of similar ways that the Steelers used Lawrence Timmons in that role many years ago. Those are the kind of traits I see from Damone Clark. Yeah, there are a lot of options in those day two ranges that Channing Tindall we touched on, but man, it's like super athleticism. You watch the tape and you see like 25 yard diagonal runs to go blow up like screen passes on the other side of the field, and it's fun, and you can see why the Steelers staff would like him as well. I really do love the day two fits at inside linebacker, but I feel like we've said that about a lot of positions, right? I feel like we said that about wide receiver for sure. I feel like we talked about possible day two corners. If they don't go day two, if they go other directions with those picks, I'm not sure there are a lot of day three linebackers that make sense for them to take just because of the depth they have on the roster, right? I mean, there's four guys there already backing up the two starters. You don't need bodies. You just need potential future starters. If you're not getting one of those, I'm not sure it makes a lot of sense to go reaching for a day three inside linebacker. There are a couple of those guys I like, Aaron Hansford from Texas A&M. There's a couple more, but to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense for them to go like, oh, we got to get a guy, because I don't think they do.
Yeah, and one note on Damone Clark, you know, I think he's a natural fit for the Steelers. The issue with that is obviously having the surgery on his herniated disc, and that might be staving them off a little bit. But that could also be the case where now, because of that, he falls to day three and they jump on that value, right? That could be like a sneaky pick at 138. Like, that would be a home run pick, because – he might not play a lot this year, but boy, I mean, you would have a guy, I think, that would be a really high upside pick in round four. But when you – so the day three discussion, I think that is a very important point to see if he falls there. Other guys, though, that I like in this range, I really like Jeremiah Gimmel from North Carolina. I thought he played a really good game here against Pitt, and then I kind of watched the rest of his tape, and he's a really good player. He's athletic, really smart, good in coverage, this type of sleeper guy. He's like the one guy in this class that I think could be a really good sleeper that could be a starter in the future. I would like him. Malcolm Rodriguez is an interesting player as well from Oklahoma State. He's got some interesting traits to him. A little bit smaller, though, so that might stave off some teams. But there's also, you know, Zakobi McClain, who's a really good leader from Auburn. There's Nate Landman from Colorado, who's more of just a pure run stuffer. Jack Sanborn from Wisconsin, again, more of a pure run stuffer. A good special teamer. There's Mark Robinson, who the Steelers brought in from Ole Miss for a visit, who I think is very interesting, more of an athletic type of player, really fluid coverage, just a very raw player, so he's going to have to develop. But an interesting guy. And then you kind of look at other guys. Ellis Brooks from Penn State's interesting, I think, a little bit. Tested pretty well at the pro day. And I think he has some interesting things on tape. Johnny Patrician from Pitt, another guy that we're talking about, you know, late day three, talking about maybe UDFA type of guy. These guys can be quality special teamers.
They brought James Kalski in from Clemson. I would put him in that range as well.
Yep. I would put him there too. And I'll say this. I think there's another guy, I think, that I actually forgot to mention that I didn't. It was DeAndre Square from Kentucky. Really an interesting player when you look at him. Athletic freak. And he is a guy that is extremely athletic, but very raw in almost every sense of the word. But really athletic, has a lot of traits that you look at that could be potential. And then there's also Joshua Ross from Michigan, who hit they were at the Michigan Pro Day. And they probably got to look at him. He was a captain there, a guy that is a really good downhill player, just an absolute missile in terms of how he hits. Really, really has like some similar playing style similarities to Devin Bush. In terms of, if you watch Bush's tape, you saw him always lay the boom and everything. Ross is the same way. A little less athletic, kind of more of like, he feels like a Vince Williams type to me. Very vocal on the field. You hear him. You can, if you turn on broadcast tape, you can hear Ross yelling on the tape, yelling at his teammates. He will go up to them, slap them, and force them to move or shift. Very vocal type of leader. Feels like a very Steelers pick to me on day three. That type of special teamer, that type of guy that maybe can develop into something. It could be like the Robert Spillane replacement if he ends up walking in a year or two. He's an interesting player, I think, in this discussion as well.
Yeah, I agree. And Avery Roberts from Oregon State is another one that just kind of like piqued my interest a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I think there's, I would, unless the, one of those guys that we're talking about as day two options falls into day three, I'm kind of skeptical of day three linebacker. To me, it goes day two, or then you're talking UDFA guys, talking about Sokolsky or Patrician, guys they hope can come in and push those players that they have on their roster and maybe beat one of them out. But I have a hard time seeing them investing day three picks in inside linebackers with four depth options already on the roster. They wouldn't have been tendering Marcus Allen a contract if they were dead set on taking a day three linebacker. They have special teams depth. They have guys that can fill spots. I think an interesting position for the future of the team, and probably an under talked about option for them in the early part of this draft. Nick, good stuff with the linebackers. Anything else you want to add before we wrap things up here? I know you got to run.
Yeah, no, not a lot. I think it's a solid linebacker class, not a great one, and I think I agree with you. Day three is unlikely. I think day two is more likely, but I think day three with the right guy, I think a guy like Ross just makes sense. They don't have that vocal presence aside from Jack, so I think they might be looking for like a Vince Williams type player if they want to on day three. But that's about the only type of player I could see them take the chance on.
I agree. So let's continue. We'll go position by position the rest of the week, and we'll see where we land. And then we're going to talk to Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin on Monday. So we'll probably recap that Monday afternoon and keep rolling. The draft is now just 8 days away. We'll have you covered every day up until the 2022 NFL draft. Thanks for watching Draft Talk on Pittsburgh Sports Live. Make sure you hit like and subscribe. Click the bell for notifications here on the YouTube platform. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks for listening. As always, thanks for watching. For Nick, I'm Alan. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you next time.